8.
Any last words?
7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome, everybody, to Chuck and Lou. Here we are on a Sunday evening, and we have a guest here, Lou, tonight. We have Hall of Fame. I'm sure he's in all kinds of Hall of Fames. He is, when you think of St. Charles and you think of St. Louis and you think of baseball, personally, I think of one person, and that is our guest tonight, Mr. Tony Perkins. Tony, how's it going?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on, man. I mean, this is something that obviously we've done, I think this is episode 25 or so, but we try to keep the community in the loop, and we try to get some people such as yourself, and I was trying to tell Iggy, our producer back here, kind of, because he's not a big baseball guy, and I said, it's kind of like the Terry Hollander of baseball, you know, is who we have here tonight, and tonight's episode is sponsored by Keith Hayslip Siding and Roofing. If you need some siding or a roof, I'm sure, Lou, you probably need a new roof, don't you? Give Keith a call at 314-712-7575. So, let's go ahead and, Lou, what'd you do this weekend?
Well, Friday I had a golf lesson.
Okay.
And then I pretty much just chilled the rest of the night.
Okay, what about, no prom for you, I guess, then?
No.
No?
I'm a sophomore. I'm not
ready. Well, you could get that senior lady to ask you and go.
Nah.
Anyways, my weekend.
The podcast hasn't helped me out any of it.
It hasn't? Nope. So, the podcast is not, lured in the older variety. The Incarnate Girls, Incarnate Word Girls, are they still into the podcast? Do they listen to that? Your friends?
I don't think they have enough yet, not to get a general sense of who I am as a person yet.
I get it. It'll come. So my weekend, Friday night didn't do much. I had my son's baseball game. Last night went to a buddy of mine who Coach Perkins knows, Kyle Ward, who was a phenomenal center fielder for.
Here's a question for you. Yeah. Were you sitting down here Saturday watching the Blues game?
No, I was actually, I actually went to the party early, an hour and a half early to watch the Blues game. And my wife was really worried because she's like, oh my God, I can't believe we got to get here early. Did you call him? And went and hung out and played some golden tea at his house. And, ended up last night, I went to a place for the first time ever. And that was, if anybody's ever been to Tubby's, it was my first time ever there. I'm sure that's my first time yesterday that was. So we're going to go ahead and get started tonight. We're going to obviously,
I sat on the couch and by myself and watched the Blues game.
Well, you're kind of one of those guys, I think you do need to watch the Blues game by yourself because you're up and around, you're yelling, you're throwing stuff.
Well, not throwing stuff, but yeah, I wasn't very happy.
What do you think about the Blues? It's just,
I don't know what to tell you, to be honest.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a good series. I think it's going to go 6 or 7 games. And
I was predicting Blues in 5, but the game I had the Blues in was tomorrow night.
Gotcha. Well, I think
if they get blown out tonight, I'll be glad.
Okay.
Tomorrow night,
you mean?
Yeah, tomorrow night. I'll be
glad. What do you mean?
Well, it'll be a game I'll be glad that I missed.
So because you have to miss it, you're just hoping that they just get killed?
Spanked, yeah.
Oh, wow, that's a heck of an attitude towards it. But we're going to go ahead here and we're going to ask Tony some questions, get him going. I know many of you are familiar with him, but Tony, go ahead and tell us a little bit about where you grew up. Are you a St. Charles person for life? Just kind of give us, from birth to now, kind of give us Tony in a nutshell.
Well, I grew up in the Quad Cities, Rock Island, Illinois, and I went to Rock Island High School, played all three sports until after my sophomore year. I gave up basketball, but mainly football and baseball. So I was a Rock. From Rock Island, my first year, I went to college in North Dakota. Dickinson State. Yes.
Wow.
About 30 miles from Montana, 30 miles from Canada.
Probably a lot to do out there.
Yeah, lots of cold out there. Up there. Very nice people, but, I was the only place I could play football and baseball.
Right.
So a guy got me to go up there, and then I transferred after that to Northeast Missouri, which is now Truman.
Uh-huh.
Played baseball there. I was thinking about football, but it was just too much. It's hard to be a multi-sport guy in college and pass.
Oh, and everybody talks about how, are you going to go to college and are you going to play baseball and basketball or baseball? It's impossible.
It's hard.
I mean, really, it is. Really, really hard to do so because it's a full year thing. And
yeah, I did the first year, but.
There's a lot to it, isn't there?
It's rough.
There's a lot to it. So tell us a little bit about your family. I know, obviously, tell us about your boys. Tell us how long you've been at Howell. Tell us, when did the Howell thing start? How long have you been there? Everything. Give us just break down Howell and your family, if you would.
Okay. My first 3 years, I was at a small school, graduating class 24, called Brashear.
Uh-huh.
And I did 7 sports, something like that. And I was the AD. The only thing I didn't do was drive the bus.
Right.
So I needed to get back in the city. I'm kind of a city guy. And so I started looking around. This one, Howell North, was their second year in existence.
Uh-huh.
And so they had a lot of coaching jobs open. So right. I interviewed, and Jerry Burbus was kind enough to hire me as football, basketball, and baseball at Howell North. And so,
you were the coach of all three of them at one point?
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah, I did that for a while. Well, I was used to it after 3 years for that other school.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I was doing track and baseball.
So you went from
season.
7 to 3.
Yeah, it was perfect. But, so I ended up being the freshman baseball coach for Bobby Donahue.
Uh-huh.
And then I was doing JV basketball. And then the first year I was freshman football. Then I was varsity assistant football. And that just... It's hard. I mean, it's just like right. anything else. If you do a lot of it, you to do it right, something had to go. So,
right.
So football was one I chose. I really enjoy basketball.
Uh-huh.
So.
And you did basketball up until
2 years ago.
Until you were done teaching, right?
Retired, right.
And you, where have you, so you've been the head baseball coach at Howell for how many years?
I think this is my 25th, because I was 5 years, after I was 2 years with Bobby, and then Charlie Elmendorf got out. It was Terry Casper's assistant,
mm-hmm.
and Charlie left, and so Terry was kind enough to hire me, so I was with Terry for 5 years, and then I got the head job, and so I think this is my 25th as the head coach, and so 30 altogether at Howell.
That's awesome. Lou, how many wins do you think this guy has?
I would say at least 1,000.
1,000? Holy moly.
I wish.
How many wins do you have?
I don't know. It's middle 500s.
That's a lot. That's a lot. And especially in baseball. I mean, baseball, you're only playing so many games.
Right.
Is it just me, or do you guys play more games than other schools?
Absolutely.
I feel like you guys are playing every day.
We play a lot.
And is this, I've been out of the high school game for a while, but is it something like you play two on Saturday, counts as one?
Yeah, that's a bonus day. I was on the Misha board for a while, and I was trying to get more games and trying to get, you know, like the college
right.
postseason and that kind of stuff. That didn't fly. But so we could do this. Tim Thompson was involved at that time. He was an ex-coach at Jeff City, so he and I got along. And he goes, Tony, if we can word it this way.
Right.
So you get five games. On any non-school day, uh-huh. you know, whether it could be spring break or it could be I do Saturdays.
Right.
So I could do five Saturdays, and you play two games. It only counts as one against your schedule.
Gotcha.
So you get an extra 5 games there.
So because I feel like when I look at your schedule, you're playing what, 30 games?
Yeah, I mean, really, you play about 33, which will count in your district if you lose first round of district.
Right. Which you guys don't do a whole lot.
Well, last year or two, everybody's getting their get backs. But I was talking earlier about, you know, if you get to the Final Four, you can get 40. And that's the max.
You can get 40 is the max.
We broke that record when we got there and we won state in 16,
uh-huh.
something like that.
I mean, that's great for the kids, though. That's a lot of ball games, especially with the weather the way it is. But I feel like you do a good job of scheduling and wanting to play because the kids want to play. I mean, you look at some of these schools, they're playing 18 to 22 games with the rainouts. They don't reschedule them. And, you know, it's just kind of it starts and it's over. And you look at your record and, you know, you're 11-11. And I look at your guys' schedule. I'm like, man, they play so many more games. And you're not scared to play anybody.
No, that's my thing. I mean, we play probably the toughest schedule around.
Because your Saturdays, it's, you're not going to play. I mean, you're not going to play Rittner.
No.
No. Where were you yesterday?
Yesterday, we were with Kansas City with Staley and some of those guys.
Uh-huh. You know,
they're the really good teams, too. So they decided to take 6 teams and bring them into Columbia. So we played Blue Springs in the morning at 9, took a couple hours off, and then came back and played Staley. And in between there, it was a really cool thing happened. I don't know if you saw that anywhere, but Kent Fuel used to be the head coach of Hickman.
Uh-huh.
They named the field after him, so they had a little dedication.
Oh, that's cool.
Had a lot of his ex-players and buddies and high school teammates and that kind of stuff. And
that's cool to just
It was neat.
Just kind of be there. Oh, this is happening as well.
He's just a great guy, and I really get along with him, too. So so awesome for him, and congratulations to him again.
That's awesome. And I'm sure these schools that you go and play, I'm sure they're wanting to play Howell as well. I mean, they're probably thinking, you know, if they're going to travel to play us, it's one of the best baseball programs around. I'm sure they're wanting to play teams like you as well. So that's a good thing.
It's kind of funny how sometimes we end up seeing their number one guys on Saturday because in our world, we play conference on Tuesday, Wednesday, home and away. So that's our dudes are throwing Tuesday, Wednesday.
Right.
But
all of a sudden you show up and their dudes on the mound.
We're tending to seeing some guys. So, hey, that's what it's all about, though, trying to make the dudes our guys better.
Absolutely.
And make it hard on them.
Absolutely. So give us a little bit about your teaching career. Were you at the same school for what?
Pretty much.
And you were the PE teacher at Barnwell?
Barnwell, yeah.
Okay.
Most time I was 8th grade. Early I was bouncing around a little bit, but I mean, most time I was at Barnwell.
And did you enjoy kind of teaching somewhere else than where you coached? Was that hard? Did you like it? Because I do that. I teach in a whole different school district than I coach. But how was that for you?
It was okay. The hardest part was when I moved over to Howe, and I was still coaching basketball at Howe North. I did that for a long time.
That was a little weird.
Yeah, I'd have to make sure that I had a different shirt in my car because I didn't want to walk in with...
You're kind of like me. I go to work, and I'm going down Highway 94, changing out of my Orchard Farm shirt into my West stuff for basketball practice, you know. And it is a little weird and strange, especially, you know, the kids. And then you're playing against them in baseball, and then you're coaching them in basketball.
That's what goes on. And some of those kids, I've done teaching now for 2 years, but... There's a lot of kids like at Howell North that I had at Barnwell. Uh-huh. So
that's cool.
I see them.
So where are your boys at now? Tell us where the boys are so the community can kind of know where they're at.
Zach is out of the house.
Zach's out of the house.
That's perfect. He bought a house about a month ago. He's gone. And he's got a girlfriend with him, and he's an accountant for Clayco, making some money. So he's doing well for himself, and I'm happy for him.
Good.
Nick, he's still in the minor leagues, A-ball with the Hagerstown Suns. He's 23 now, so he's banging away, chasing a dream, giving it a shot. You know, so we don't talk to a whole bunch with him. It's such a grind. I mean, in the minor leagues, it's 10-12 hour days, and that's when they're home.
Right.
And they get on the road, it's, you know, it might be 4 or 5 in the morning before they get home sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a rough deal, but. Just hoping that he stays healthy and, you know, gets it going.
Right.
The twins, let's see. Both of them were at Murray State their freshman year. Ryan stayed, and he's still playing there, starts there. Justin left Murray after his first year, went to Jeffco. They went to the College World Series last year.
I saw that.
I was able to go to Colorado and with Tracy, my wife, and I going out there. It was a pretty cool experience.
That's an awesome experience.
Yeah, it was beautiful country. But then we... he's now at SIUE. He's starting for them. He's playing second base. It's kind of weird because Justin's playing second base, which he did a little bit in high school, didn't do in college until this year. And Ryan was always an outfielder. Then he was at first base, and then an outfielder got hurt. Now he's back in the outfield.
Well, if you can hit, they're going to find a place for
right.
you.
Yeah, Justin had a couple hits today, double, and Ryan, he went yard today. So
nice. That's just
cool. Going.
That's awesome. I mean, there's a lot of people who are jealous of that fact, but I know you and your wife both are always constantly traveling, watching them, trying to with your schedule, which is hard to do.
Tracy's in Murray this weekend.
Is she?
Yeah.
So you kind of, one goes here, one goes there, I'm assuming at times.
Well, it's so hard when I do my high school stuff because that's my priority, you know, and I do that. I mean, before the season starts, there's some time, even when Nick was like at Ole Miss, or even when he transferred to Drury and then got drafted after his Drury year.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I could go that far away before the season starts because they have like two weekend series.
Right.
You know, so I concentrate on the farthest ones away. But when the high school season starts, now I'm pretty much concentrating on Justin because Edwardsville's 40-minute drive. So that's cool. So, you know, I can sneak over for a Tuesday or Wednesday, or I can, you know, get up there on a Sunday because I'm playing every Saturday.
Right,
so,
right. You know. Well, let's move on to some people now. Let's talk about this all-GAC team I was going to ask you about. I don't know if you wrote that down. That's almost darn near impossible to probably do.
It really is. And, well, my question to you would be, like, are you wanting to hear? I mean, there's some old guys who were.
How about you just
really great players.
How about and I think I said in there from like 95 on.
Right, and there's older ones than that.
Uh huh.
But you know, are you basing this on their high school career?
I'm basing it on
their whole career.
Probably just their high school career. But why don't you just give us a couple? You know, you don't have to tell us everything. Cause that'd be really really hard to do. But how about you just tell us maybe 5 or 6 guys that you've coached against that were in the GAC that were pretty tough. Just give us some names that you remember.
Well, you know, Mark Burley, of course, who's probably going to be in the Hall of Fame.
Absolutely.
Was great. But in high school, he always. Every time I see him, he cusses at me because we beat him twice his senior year.
Uh-huh.
So he's a good guy and had a great career. I was so proud of him. You know, but some of the guys that really stick out in my mind, we used to have battles with Zumwalt South. Steve Collier.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and he's big.
He could bring it.
Big leaguer. Yeah. Good story about that. We played them in a district semi, and he didn't start against us.
Uh-huh.
And so they were up 1 in the 7th. We were home team. And we scratched for a run and tied it, and he never got up. Went to the 8th, and same thing happened. We scratched for 1 run and tied it. And the 9th, he never got up.
Really?
In the 9th inning, we scored 2, and we beat him, and their season was over. So Steve Collier did not throw a pitch in districts that year.
I think that's the one thing about high school baseball is, what's your approach with that about saving your arms?
You got to win the first one to get to the next one.
Because I've seen it happen many, many times where the best pitcher, they wait him out, and then all of a sudden your season's over.
Right.
And that's not the way that you can't do baseball like that. You got to get your guy out there.
Your best guy comes in from the pen. Maybe he's not done that all year. He's not going to succeed most of the time.
That's right.
So you got to win. I mean, you got, like, when 16 we went, Jacob Kostyshak, who's having great success for Arkansas right now. He went to district semi. He went to sectional game. He went to state semifinal game. You know,
right?
And he was 10-0 on the year. And he, in postseason, he was nails. There was nobody touching him. It was awesome.
And how many state championships have you won at Hull?
Four.
And which one out of the four? They're all amazing, I'm sure. Which one out of the four was either the one that will always stick out to you, or maybe the one that was the hardest, or the one that you thought, I don't think we're going to do this, and we did it? Is there one that sticks out?
Yeah, I think the first one. Uh-huh. I mean, 2003. We had five or six sophomores in the lineup there.
Right.
I was thinking we had no business being there, but we kept scrapping. We beat SLU. I can't remember who else would be on that run. And we get there, and we won the semi, and we won the whole thing. And it was like, wow.
Right.
And with five or six sophomores in the lineup that year in 2003, we never got back to the Final Four. You figured that five or six guys, and there were some fantastic players in that group. We never got back to the Final Four.
Well, and I think that's what I tell my guys in basketball. It's like, when you win a district title, I mean, there's anything that you win, there are so many high schools around town that have never even won one of them.
Absolutely.
And you have to take those, you got to cherish those moments because you just might not get back there. I always try to tell my freshmen and sophomore, even if they're just dressing with us, like this past year went a pretty good run, you got to enjoy it because, I think some of the kids think, well, it's going to happen. It just happens. Not.
I've learned that because I've been fortunate to have been to 10 Final Fours. But each one, the first one, after I go to the second one, I miss. I always kind of look around and really want to take it in because I'm thinking this might be the last time that I do this because I'm really involved with the Coach Association. I have a lot of throughout the whole state. And a lot of guys say they've never been to a Final Four. And so I was just trying to cherish every moment
of
it and have fun with it,
I mean, you've been to 10 Final Fours. There's coaches out there who haven't won 10 games in a year. And probably you're blessed to obviously coach where you're at. But before Lou starts asking some questions here, was there an umpire you really enjoyed doing games? I mean, over the years, there's obviously many of umpires I'm sure you've had these relationships with. But was there one that, one umpire that really sticks out to you that you really enjoy?
Well, Gonzo's kind of a legend in himself. I mean, Gonzo's Don Gonzalez, and his son umpires as well. And I think one of the better ones around is Tom Sobota. The new guy on the block is Brett Bogner. I mean, when I see those guys.
So Brett's umping?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Brett and I played the same year. Is he really?
Yeah, he's a great umpire.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
He's doing some college games, but he had us twice last week.
Holy cow.
And he's great.
That's awesome. He knew the game, though. He was very involved in the game.
But those guys show up, that you're going to get a good honest game.
That's awesome. Lou, what do you got for us?
All right, so if you could coach anywhere else in the high school ranks, where would it be and why?
That's funny you asked that question because about 10, 12 years ago, I was driving with my wife out on 109, and we passed Lafayette, and I told her, I said, if I would ever leave Howe, Lafayette would be the only place I would go to. And she said, are you kidding me? I said, no. I said, look at that place. I mean, it's a palace. I mean, you got so many fantastic players year in and year out. You got David Freeze, you got Ryan Howard, you got Luke Voigt, I'm missing one. Somebody else, too.
There's all kinds of them. And
big leagues.
Even the ones that were just, good, the DuPonts of the world, they're always just filled with talent,
right.
And it is a beautiful place.
Oh, yeah.
That's interesting.
That's about the only place that place, they get great athletes in all sports.
They really do.
They should run away with everything.
They really do.
And they're great this year, too.
Have you ever been asked or contacted to coach at the college level?
Yeah, I've been approached, JUCO, I looked at the St. Charles Community College job, but the problem is with the public school retirement system, you're limited X amount of hours, 550 hours, I think is what it is, but St. Charles Community College is tied in with the public school retirement system.
Really?
Yes, so I would only get 500 hours, which I was going to do it, it's not going to happen that way. I mean, you can do it right. You just think about the times you spend recruiting. But that being said, if you're in St. Charles County, I think your longest recruiting trip could maybe just be Troy.
Right, absolutely.
you can just take care of your backyard and get your JUCO guys to stay at home, look out.
That's right.
Places, and the guy there now has done a great job, and they're winning a lot more games.
That's good.
How do you determine which one of your boys' games in college do you go to?
Well, just whatever's closest most of the time. I mean, it's, if they're close and I'm off, which is rare, right. I mean, because we're always playing. I mean, we just go wherever I can.
Here's another question. Who would be driving?
Most time my wife and I are split up. So we've had our own little texting techniques about, you know, what they did at the bat and stuff ever since they've been little, because we were never together when they were little either.
Right.
So I was coaching one and she was going with the other. So yeah, it's a tough deal. I mean, the traveling, it's hard, but you do what you do and we love it, so it's good.
That's awesome.
Who are a couple mentors in your life that have sort of made you the baseball god you are today?
I don't know about a guy. I tell you, my first guy was probably my sophomore baseball coach in Rock Island. Not too many freshmen played sophomore ball. In fact, we didn't have a freshman high school team because our high school was 10, 11, and 12.
Right.
But he let freshmen try out for baseball, and I made it. And I started for him for 2 years. I wasn't a real good kid when I was younger. Sometimes I needed to have rides. He would take care of me, and he was so energetic,
right.
And he really pushed me to succeed and really to get me into college, wanted me to coach. In fact, after my freshman year in college, he said, hey, we want to go play some slow pitch. And it was all the old coaches and stuff back home, and you know, they got me jobs, and I played slow pitch with grown men right away, and then I was hooked, and that was a long scene as well. But he's in the Illinois High School Hall of Fame. He ended up being the head coach there, and his sons run Heath and Tony are on the Dynasty Club team in Houston, Texas.
Okay. Yeah,
it's pretty good. Really, but as far as learning how to coach, I mean, I was at Brashear for 3 years. I'm just a young pup, not knowing what I was doing, kind of stuff, you know. I really didn't start learning baseball until I got around Bobby Donahue and Terry Casper. I mean,
absolutely.
Both those guys are major influences on me. Bobby and I still run camps together in the summertime. Uh-huh. You know, he always works my camps, and we run the GAC prep camp, and a lot of the camps that we do, and Terry was so good to me, and yeah, those three guys probably had the biggest influence on me.
Absolutely. That's cool. Because Bobby has, I mean, I coached for Bobby for 1 year as JV team. I was 22 years old. But the Donahue family is just one. You talk about Lafayette, you talk about Stevie, they're a trip, but you talk about baseball people. I mean,
yeah, Gary and I went to, took a team to Australia, and we did well with that one. And then Stevie and I, we took two teams to, no, Gary and I went to Hawaii. Stevie and I went to Australia.
I can only imagine that. But that was some fun trips.
Yeah.
So obviously Francis Hall is the program in St. Charles, especially when you're talking about baseball. And when it gets to a point, it is kind of the school in all sports, really. It's kind of the one that you always, you know, just me being a St. Charles kid, it's where a lot of kids and families wish their kid could go, you know. And I guess with baseball, what are two or three things that your program over the years, what are two or three things that you guys do that you think is different that puts you in the situation to be the best? Is there a couple things you can pinpoint?
We work awful hard.
Okay.
And I let them off practice Thursday. And I was trying to think, I was asking Darren Sissel, he's been with me for like 20 years. I coached him in 91 and 93. We were final. That's when all the Final Four started with those guys, him and Chad Thorpe. But I said, how often have I canceled practice? Usually I'm doing something.
Right.
I don't care if it's a hallway or just hitting inside. But it's hard to go back inside, and we've been hitting hard. We've been on the road a lot. So I gave him a day off, which was kind of weird. Yeah, but the kids kind of enjoyed it, I think. I mean, I think that our practices are very structured.
Okay.
We get on them. I mean, we make them game-like. There's running situations if they don't do things wrong. I mean, they're held accountable for what they do.
So I think the accountability piece is probably a big deal.
Yeah.
Still.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got
to
be.
Right. It has to be. The kids, I mean, they either love it or they don't.
You know?
And the kids that compete, and, you know, I was always say that, you know, practices are mine, the games are yours.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I don't really get on them too much in the games. I'm sure when I was younger, I yelled more than I do now. But, yeah, I work at them hard. And if something happens in a game that I didn't cover in practice, I'm very angry with myself. And, uh-huh. I will tell the kids that, hey, that's my fault. We didn't work enough on that particular rundown, or we didn't do that particular bunt rotation.
So it's just almost like life in general. Like, you're one of those coaches where some coaches, you know, they don't care. But with you, I think it's to a point where, you know, I think, so, you know, you got those coaches in high school and you've seen them, like, they lose games and it's like, I just want to go home. You know, it's, and they're there. It, but with you, I feel like you're one of those coaches that if you don't have your kids prepared, then you're going to feel it was my fault. And that's kind of how I am. You know, if it's 12:30 at night and I'm still watching film, it's not because I really want to win the game for myself. It's because I don't want my kids to fail because I wasn't ready. And I think that's kind of something that I think you and I probably have in common there.
I get to start talking to my kids right about now, because especially in baseball, because you got prime, you got graduation stuff going on, and a lot of the kids start turning their focus towards that and, instead of baseball. You know, and I truly try to work on our kids to stay focused and close the deal.
Right.
I mean, get to where we need to get. I mean, you'll never have this experience again, this high school baseball experience. You won't be playing with your buddies no more.
Uh-huh.
You know, if you do lucky enough to play college baseball, it'll be a whole different scene. It'll be a whole different job for you.
Right.
You know, so we need to have you concentrating. But if you want to go and do other things, please give me your uniform now.
Yeah, if you want to go play grab ass, then give me your uniform.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
So what is your coaching philosophy as far as, are there a couple of things that maybe, you know, are you more of a small ball type of guy? Does it change on a year-to-year basis based on what kind of arms you have? Or is there kind of one philosophy that if I went and talked to a guy who played for you in 2002 and a guy in 2012 and a guy now, is there any sayings or mottos that you guys use? Or what is your really, truly your philosophy at Howell?
I think it's like basketball. Some people run the same stuff all the time. Mm-hmm. I don't do that.
Right.
You can't do that. Mm-hmm. We're always going to bunt.
I mean,
I have Darren Sissel on my staff, and he is just, he's my bunting guy. And, and we're pretty good at it, and we've won a whole ton of games bunting.
I've seen you win games bunting, because I had this man crush on the Final Four the last, like, 5 or 6 years until it moved from, you know, obviously in town here. And I would always come, and I always thought to myself, you know, you guys do this. You guys bunt more than any team I think I've seen. But I think when it comes down to high school, you're making high school kids make plays when you bunt. I mean,
they got to handle the ball.
Yeah,
and that's what people lose track of. They think that, you know, when you're bunting, you're giving up outs.
Right.
We never have that philosophy.
Right.
Our philosophy is we're bunting for a base hit, and the best time. I mean, Coach Goff from Zuma West texted me one time after game. He said, "How many bunts did you signal in our game?" And I said, "Probably 2, and we bunted like 7 times.
Right.
But they, you know, because their third baseman's playing back. I can tell you a good story about Nick and Slew in the quarterfinal game if you want. They had, who was that guy went to TCU? Howard.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was throwing.
And what year was this?
That had to have been maybe 14.
And this was against Slew?
Yeah.
Okay.
At CNH.
Uh huh.
At CNH. And it's a tie ball game, 1-1 or 2-2. And Nick comes up, and Nick's a banger. He's been hitting home runs and blah, blah, blah. Third baseman's way back in the grass. He's got 2 strikes on him, and he lays a bunt down. My eyes are huge at this point in time. I imagine everybody else's eyes were like.
Right.
The guy comes in. He would have beaten it out, but he chucks it down the line, and Nick ends up on second base. And then Nate Green comes up, another good player for us, and he luckily hits one down the right field line, scores the run. Well, one of the twin brothers was courtesy running for him, so he scored the run, and we win, and we go to Final Four.
That's awesome.
And this guy, and at that point in time, he's 6'4", 225. It's not like he's
right.
It ain't no blazer, man. But he could bunt. All my sons could bunt.
Tell us the story about, didn't you have all 4 of your boys on the field at one time?
Yeah, that's awesome. We were playing Columbia Hickman at CNH. We're killing them. So the twins were freshmen, and I didn't rush my sons in.
Right.
They were all like 3.5 or whatever. They just got a little, a little bit of experience. So there was, Zach was on, Ryan was on, Nick was DHing, and they asked if Nick could courtesy run for the guy at first base. And the coach said that would be fine, which is highly illegal.
Right.
So, and then Justin was up. So we had all four Perkinses on the base.
Did you get a picture of it?
My wife had a video. That's back when we had those little rotten camera things.
Uh-huh. Right, know? Absolutely.
And it's bouncing so much because Justin got a base hit up the middle.
Oh, cool.
And that was a 10th run. The game was over.
That's awesome.
That was just that's a beautiful moment.
That's awesome. You'll never forget that.
You got that right.
Let's go ahead, Lou, and skip down here to your part here where we talk a little bit about the parents listening.
All right, so parents listening will want to know, what is your advice to what it takes to separate a young man from being an average baseball player to an above average baseball player from seventh grade on?
Yeah, that's the baseball world's really, really changed.
It really has.
I mean, you know, as when you coached in the summer and that kind of stuff, I mean, it was Legion back in the day, and then Slaba, and then it was Jerry,
right.
And just Jerry. And when Jerry was just Jerry with the prospects, Jerry Daniels, they were the best group around.
Mm-hmm.
But now there's a club on every block.
Right.
So everything is watered down. To get back to your question, like seventh and eighth grade and that kind of stuff, the first thing you got to do is figure out school. I mean, the first thing you do is you got to get good grades and start setting a good basis for your future.
Right.
And your character and what you're doing in the classroom, because that's what the college coaches are looking at, is how is this kid? They're not. When college coaches talk to me, they don't ask what kind of a player they are. They ask them what kind of a citizen they are and what are their grades, what's their ACT, you know.
Absolutely.
What's their attendance rate, you know, whatever, that kind of stuff. So you got to get that basis right there. And when you get out there, you have to figure out where you can play at the highest level and play.
Right.
You know, you got to get on the field. You got to get in front of somebody. I mean, if you're going to a team and it's a dad coach and dad's son plays shortstop and you're a shortstop, you don't go to that team because you're not going to play shortstop. And that's exactly what goes on. I mean, you want to play at the highest level. We have a kid in our program who plays with a team in Columbia, Missouri.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, so I don't care.
And that's just his fit. That's where he fits.
Yeah, when I first started, I grew up Legion, and we got second state my junior year in Illinois. You know, and I thought Legion was the way to go, and I tried to encourage our kids to do that, but once I got figured out that's not happening.
No, I mean, if you talk about Legion baseball, for those that are out there, Legion baseball kind of started going kind of a little bit south probably in the late 90s.
I agree.
I know with the prospect situation started in 98 because I was on the first team ever. Mm-hmm. And then I coached it for 7 years and coached, you know, two of your boys. And I think probably about the, you know, 2002, 2003-ish is really when kind of the Legion went out. But you're right. When I kind of went through the phase. Mm-hmm. You know, Legion was still kind of really cool, but then it kind of went out during my four-year high school experience. I kind of saw it go from, I mean, every night of the week when I was 10 years old, I wanted to go to Blanchet Park or CNH Park, and I wanted to watch CNH play St. Charles or St. Charles. It was just a great evening. Mm-hmm. But it changed fast.
Yeah, it really did. Yeah, Medlock got the Slava going. That started changing things. And yeah, I mean, another thing I would say about your question is don't be specialized. I mean, don't be doing baseball training 12 months out of a year. I think you need to get away from it.
Mm-hmm.
I encourage everybody to play multi-sports. Nick, you know, who got drafted, was a three-sport guy all his years in high school.
Absolutely.
The other three played three sports until they were sophomore, and all three of them gave up basketball after sophomore year, which saddened me, but that's what they did. Play other sports, because I had Coach Gutton from Missouri State. He was recruiting one of our guys. He goes, is he on the basketball team? I said, yeah. He goes, I'm going to come to the basketball game.
Uh-huh.
I said, really? He goes, yeah, I want to see what kind of an athlete he is. And so he drove from Springfield to St. Charles to see this dude play basketball to see what kind of an athlete he was. And he goes, I love it. And when he recruited Ryan, and one thing he said, he goes, we sat down, he offered us, and he said, the best thing I like about you is you play baseball like a football game.
Uh-huh.
So, and he liked that.
And those are the kind of players that he has down at Missouri State.
Right.
I mean, if you watch them, you know, there were times we played them, and when I went to SLU, it was like, they almost scared you a little bit because they didn't give a shit. I mean, they were getting after you, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But anyways, let's go ahead, Lou, and we got a couple more on your end here.
All right, what is the biggest change in development of players from about Coach Steinhall or Chuck's time to now? How is the process different?
People are getting more specialized. You got P3 build a building now, and next to the whatever they call that place, the field. What is that name of that indoor out there on the end?
Where
the Gators are. I don't know.
I don't know.
I forgot too, and I've been there a couple times. It's really nice. It's beautiful. Uh-huh. But people are really starting to get specialized, and they, you know, go through this pitching routine all the way through the wintertime, you know, and I think it's not good. Right. I don't think it's good at all. I mean, Steve Roper was a player I had years ago as a catcher. I don't know if he's your age or not.
Uh-huh.
But he went to – Mizzou has a showcase around Christmas, middle of December or something. And my advice to guys and kids, if you're going to go do a showcase – you better be in baseball shape. I mean, this kid went to, he was my starting catcher as a junior.
Uh-huh.
I'm thinking, I got no problems my senior year. I got a guy back there who's going to be awful good. He goes to the showcase in Mizzou, blows out his arm. I don't have him for the whole year just because
he wasn't prepared.
He was not, and that was before any of these indoor facilities are around.
Right.
So you can be in baseball shape if you want to do that.
Right. But
it's choices people have to make.
Yeah, I think that 12-month is a grind. Mm-hmm. You know, I think, like I said, I hopefully, you know, my son, when he gets older, he's doing it now. But to continue to play multi-sports, because that's a grind, 12-month. No one wants to do the same thing for 12 months. I don't care if it's, you know, working at Steak and Shake for 12 months. Nobody wants to do that. But let's go ahead, Lou. We're going to kind of move on the show a little bit down here. And I want you to ask Coach about what he did there. Did he ever call off school?
Yeah, so... did you ever call school, fake sick, or any of that to get the fields ready?
Well, I don't have to do that now, put it that way. I spend a lot of time on the field now, and we've only lost one game. That's because of the Midwest Classic, and we got dismissed on the schedule to make that one up.
Uh-huh. And you love that part, don't you?
I do. In fact, I'm working down at CNH, too. I mow the grass down there. And
why don't you go ahead and tell us about CNH Ballpark and what it means to you and what it means to Francis Howell. And then to piggyback on that, how was it leaving CNH when Howell got a new field? Yeah. How was that transitioning?
That was very, very tough for me.
I bet.
And it was hard, and I was involved in a few meetings, and I was in on some decision-making, a lot of decision-making I wasn't. I'm sitting in Barnwell's gym, and Pam Sloan, who's the superintendent at the time, comes walking in, and I said, what are you doing here? And she goes, I'm here to talk to you. And I'm like, uh-oh. I'm in trouble. And she goes, hey, I need your support on this baseball field at Francis Howell. I said, and I told her how I felt. I said, that's very, very hard for me. I go, there's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears to go into that place. And we've established quite a winning tradition there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm still a member down there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They still sell beer there?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So I said, it's very hard for me to leave. I mean, yeah, I'll do what you have to do, but it's going to be tough for me to do that. And that's why I still stay involved. Like I said, you know, I cut the grass a couple days a week, and I get paid for that. That's great.
That's awesome. So what's going on at CNH? I mean, I haven't been out there in years. Is it still the same fields, slow pitch? And they still play high school games there? What's going on there?
Not much high school. Every now and then they will. It's more double A, you know, kind of weekend things.
Uh-huh.
And they pack them in, man.
They're still packed.
There's so many teams out there that all the tournaments are full.
Uh-huh. Is the field still in good shape? The main field there?
Yeah, better. It's grass. I know. Uh-huh. If you've been there since that, it's nice. Yeah.
That's just one of those places where when you were a kid and it was on the schedule, I just love playing there.
Yeah.
You know, and our parents love drinking beer there.
Yeah, anybody, you know, our age or older, they have stories about CNH.
Absolutely.
And they love being there. They love the crushed ice for the soda.
Uh-huh.
I love the signs. The signs are
absolutely
so cool. You know, it's just
absolutely
like an old minor league park.
I'm really glad that – here's a question that's kind of random. Do you have anybody else out there who's helping you with that that has the same impact on CNH as you, or are you kind of just – the one?
No, I'm not the one. But
okay.
I'm trying not to be the one. That's for sure.
Gotcha.
Randy Kochmeyer now is like the field manager,
and
he's trying to phase out too. But he's very, very good at what he does. I mean, I guess did it rain here Saturday?
Did it rain Saturday?
No,
I don't think so. Maybe in the morning.
It was
till about 11, I think.
Because they had a picture on Twitter of CNH. It's triple plays. What basically does CNH. That's the name of the group, and they now got the fields next door too. So essentially, they got 9 fields going, so they can run a lot of teams through there. But it's a multitude of people. I mean, we've got kids that do the garbage. You've got kids that do the bathrooms.
Mm-hmm.
You got guys that do the, you know, can run the Kubota on a tractor and drag and line it and that kind of stuff.
Cool.
You know, I'm very cool with just getting down there about 8:30, taking about 3 hours to mow. Nobody bugs me, no phone, no nothing. It's cool. I get in, get out, and I'll make a couple bucks.
That's awesome. That's awesome. What else you got, Lou? You got one more there for us?
Yeah. There's one question here that really interested me. What about this 2013 game versus Vianney?
That was probably the one you're referring to. It was probably 11.
Maybe 11?
Yeah, when it went extra innings and we scored a gazillion runs.
Yes.
Yeah, that was hard. Brett Graves, who's in the big leagues now for us, was throwing that game. And we were up 6 runs. They came back and went up on us, you know, 7-8 to 6, and we came back and tied it, and then we're losing, and it's in the last 7th inning. Yeah. No, we tied it in the 7th. It goes 9.
Uh-huh.
And
I was there.
Zach was on the team as a sophomore, and he was 0-for in the game. Me and Cecil were talking about this today. And I had Nick along. He was a freshman. He was hitting home runs as a freshman. And I wanted to pinch hit Nick for Zach.
Right.
And Cecil was, no, you're not doing it. Let Zach hit. And so they talked me into letting Zach hit. So he proceeds to hit it over out of the park. And it was probably one of the most tear-jerking moments of my career.
Right.
As he came around third base, and that was awesome.
I bet.
And so that tied it in the 9th inning. And then Jacob Rhodes gets on. I don't know how he got on. I can't remember. He got a base hit. And then he got to second base on a wild pitch. They walked Brett Graves. And then Brett Peel comes up. Now, we're talking about a lot of these guys I'm talking about played at Mizzou, because that class had 5 guys play at Mizzou at one time.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, it is. And then Brett Peel hits one to the warning track, and we won. That was a state semifinal game.
Yeah,
it was just, if you look in the state records, that game is in there a lot for like most home runs, most runs scored in an inning, most home runs in an inning. They had those kinds of stats.
I think that game is actually kind of what got me to go every year. Like, I mean, I went to that one game, I remember distinctly,
it was so
and I was
exciting.
Like, and it, I felt like a lot of the games that I went to after that, a lot of the Final Fours were just so exciting.
Just so exhausting. But you're so into it so much, and you work so hard, and you're just chasing that goal. Is just, it's rough, man.
Absolutely. So, is it true that after a long winning streak, you don't wash your uniform?
It depends what I got going, man. I'm kind of superstitious, for real.
Well, you got the mustache superstition.
What's going
on with that?
That's a running deal. I always tell my teams, if we win 10 games in a row, you can shave my mustache, and I make them do it.
Oh, cool.
We sit in the dugout, and they do it. Well, like in 2011, it happened twice. We get out the gate, we win 10 games in a row.
Mustache gone.
And then we get, mustache go, so we get beat. Then we win 10 in a row again, so I shaved it again. So in 16, when we won state, the semifinal game was 10 in a row. Not a word was said. Uh-huh. And I'm thinking, all right, I got away with this one. I'm going to be able to keep it. We win state the next day, everybody's celebrating and everything else. And then all of a sudden, the Twins come up, they're smiling, and the whole team's just coming at me, and somebody's got the Clippers, and they're sitting. I said, oh, man, you think we forgot? I was hoping. Let's go. Deals are deals. So.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
It comes back in 3 or 4 days, so they don't like that when that happens.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
It's the only place I can grow hair now.
Right here. Yeah. Oh, man. Well, Lou, I'm going to go ahead and let's go ahead and get some West Side talking here. And Coach, you can come in and talk a little bit here. But we're obviously going to talk a little St. Charles West now and some Blues and some things. And I'm going to let Lou kind of get after it here.
All right. Well, starting off with West Side talk and start with the baseball team. Back at the beginning of the year, they had their own tournament. They made it to a championship game, lost to St. Dominic. Well, they got the revenge in that one, beating the Crusaders on the road, this time 6-3, behind a strong game from Clark Henderson. And West kind of been in the grind, a tough schedule past 2 weeks or so. They lost to Timberland, lost the game to Orchard Farm, where the bats came alive for both teams, and then they played Slough High yesterday. Day after prom, not the best.
Who schedules that? Prime on Friday night, and then you got to get up and play a game on Saturday.
We left at 5 in the morning and drove to Chapel.
Of course you did.
And we did.
Well, baseball lost to Slough 8-2 yesterday. Going with golf next.
Yeah, tell me about some golf.
So on Wednesday, West shot 350 as a team at the GAC North Championships, finished third behind Warrenton St. Charles High. Warrenton won their first GAC North title. And I think a lot of us were predicting that was going to happen.
Yeah.
4 guys from West named the second team all-conference, Mitch Smith and Brett Hash, and then Ben Sheevy and a guy named Jack Buehler.
Who's that?
Yeah, exactly.
Attaboy Lou.
Yeah. Sheevy and myself actually tied for the last spot, but luckily they had one. They had an extra medal to give.
Perfect.
And
everybody gets a medal nowadays.
Shout out to Coach Gibson for giving the JV kids the varsity medals.
Oh, wow. Yeah. A mix up there.
Mm-hmm. And all his guys were out on the putting green during the award ceremony.
Getting work in.
Mm-hmm. And I also finished seventh in the tournament that got me, that vaulted me up to second team all conference because the point schedule. Got district tomorrow at the Links of Darden. That will be hopefully not too rainy.
It's supposed to rain tomorrow, right?
Mm-hmm.
A little bit. Well, good luck for you.
In the morning.
Okay. What time do you guys get started tomorrow?
First tee time's at 9.
Okay. So another day of missed school for
the golfers.
At least.
Yeah.
To go golf. Yeah. Best part of high school, I guess.
It is. It's crazy to me. I love it.
Girls soccer, last 2 weeks, a lot of injuries going on. They're getting some players back.
They beat Duchenne, right?
They beat Duchenne 1-0 in overtime. Very chippy game from what I heard.
Cool.
Then this past week, they played in the St. Dominic tournament. They beat Koryezu 1-0 and then lost to Howell Central and Notre Dame. Notre Dame, I think, is second in Class 2. So they played some tough competition. Mm-hmm. I think they just kind of ran out of gas at the end of the week. And this week, they have Villa Duchenne on the road. So they're playing a team that could contend in Class 2 with them.
Gotcha.
So they're getting a look at some of the teams that they could play in the future. And then West Soccer did clinch at least a share of the GAC North title.
Good.
Because St. Charles High beat Orchard Farm 2 Fridays ago, 1-0 in OT. And someone we know, someone sitting here in this podcast, got on Fox 2 News that night for that game.
I saw you on there.
Yeah, I was there.
And you were the talk of the town, being on the news there.
Yeah, I mean,
but you're everywhere, anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows Lou.
touching on St. Charles High real quick.
What's up with this goalie situation?
This is a mess.
This is girl soccer, St. Charles High, right?
Yeah. Okay. So the day after we did our last podcast, that was April 15th. I went and watched them play Zumwalt East, okay. And they're on their third string goalie. They're starting goalie is a junior. She got cleated in the face in a blowout game.
That felt good.
So she's out with the concussion. Their second string goalie gets hurt, undisclosed injury. I don't know exactly what it was. So they're on this third string goalie. It's a freshman who doesn't play much goalie at all. And so she's played one half of JV, and then she comes off and she's icing her shoulder that game.
Oh, so now we're on the fourth goalie?
Not yet.
Okay.
The goalie goes out for warm-ups, injures her shoulder, like re-injures it.
Uh-huh.
So they're on a fourth string goalie. So they have to find a goalie first off.
So they're going to look for one. They're down like Lions Frozen Custard looking for goalies.
Well, they just happen to have a call up from JV whose sister played goalie the last 4 years as their starting goalie. They're like, all right, you're in goal. Not even warming her up or anything. I'm like, okay, this is going to be interesting. She gets a shutout in the first half. Then they played a regular starting goalie and beat Zumwalt East 1-0.
Nice.
And then the third string goalie, the freshman's been hurt off and on. So they've been playing this goalie. And luckily she's gotten 2 wins so far.
Mm-hmm.
So 2-0. And since that Zumwalt East game, High's won 6 in a row. And shout out to that girl that's gotten all the goals. Good friend of mine, Maddie Bierman. She's done a great job in goal. And I think she's learned a thing or two from her sister, and I'm proud of you, kid.
That's awesome for Maddie. What else? Anything else on Warrior Land? Because you didn't go to prom, so we can't talk about prom. We can't talk about prom. That.
Not much, really.
Not much? Well, it's good. You know, here we are. How many more days of school you got left?
Probably like 20-something.
20-something.
I don't have too much.
Coach has no date. You have no more school left for Coach.
I'm good.
Man, I'm jealous. Wake up at 8:30 every morning, go cut the grass.
It's nice.
Do you play golf, Coach?
I do, but I'm terrible.
You're terrible.
Yeah, I lose a lot of balls.
Do you? That's all right. Yeah. You know, are we still playing with the Bridgestone?
Yes.
Okay, I'm making sure you didn't go back to the Top Flight.
I was playing Callaway. Same thing. Like, the Callaway is pretty much the same as the Bridgestone I was playing, but I've run out of those.
Well, what a great evening here tonight. Thank you, Coach, for stopping by, and good luck to you and the Vikings the rest of the way. Obviously, with baseball, you've been there 10 times. Maybe we can go Final Four. Maybe we can make it 11 times. I know your schedule is going to get you where you need to go. When do districts and baseball start?
It's like 2 weeks.
Two weeks?
And we're hosting districts for the first time in about 15 years.
That'd be cool.
AD's kind of ganged up on us and didn't let us host.
Yeah, that's a long time.
Even like years. I had a brand new field.
And right.
So I kind of know what went on there. But now I don't know what's changed. But now we are hosting this year.
And
so
who's in your district?
We got all 4 Zumwalts. We have us and how Seattle Central.
And who are the...
Liberty.
Okay. And around town, baseball-wise...
Who's strong? I played most of them.
So, as far as who do you think...
The most talented team we've already talked about is Lafayette.
They're really good?
They're loaded. I mean, up and down the lineup.
Are they better than Biani? Are they about the same?
They definitely have more hitting than Biani.
Okay.
Arm-wise, I think they have more arms. CBC's got dudes. They're starting to get one guy back. Here late, Cole Schrader gets back. They got the phenom Christian Little, who's committed to Vanderbilt. And he's a sophomore. He's legit. So you got to deal with him. But
he's committed to Vanderbilt as a sophomore?
He committed as an eighth grader.
What?
Him and Jerry Daniels' kid both committed as eighth graders. And
then Jerry's kid switched he's going to Oklahoma
Mizzou
now?
Now he's Oklahoma, yeah. Yeah.
What's the point behind that, may I ask?
It's just dumb.
Okay.
Because the schools down south get them, you know, committed, and it's just verbal. Nothing. Right. You can't sign nothing after your junior summer. So it's just they feel like if they don't get in on them early enough, they'll get somebody else to swoop in and get them.
Gotcha.
So it's just it's really is dumb.
Yeah.
Summit's really good. They're in round. We played Westminster, and there's another Matheny kid. Man, he is really good.
Really? Is he the last one?
I don't know. He's got a ton of them.
They just keep showing up?
And they can play. I don't know. We played them, and they got arms, too, but they're a class below.
Right.
We played them in the Troy tournament, but they're awful good. Yeah, I'm a Lafayette fan. Like I said, Summit. Marquette's good. And then people always ask about districts. And I said, whoever wins our district usually has a chance because our district's usually tough. And it is. And that team that gets out is hot.
Uh-huh.
You know, and that's you got to get hot at the right time.
Right. If you get hot, we can just win this baby, as Doug Vaughn would say. Anyone want to talk about the Blues at all anymore, Lou?
No.
I think we've talked enough about them.
I think we have too.
Well, episode 25, I think, in the books here on this Sunday evening. We're going to go to school tomorrow. Coach isn't. Other than that, I would like to... Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. We have a retired guy and a guy going golfing. And I'll go to work tomorrow, boys. Yeah. Okay? I'll carry it.
Take one for the team.
Yeah, holy cow. But anyways, once again, thanks, Coach, for coming. And like I said, just... We do this because we want to get people on here that we respect, people on here that can tell their story. And we know there's a lot of closet listeners out there that'll be hitting the treadmill in the morning or maybe late tonight or sometime this week, and they'll see your face on our Twitter page. And if anybody out there sees this and they want to retweet it and get the word out or let people know about it, it's just great having guys like Coach Tony on the show. It's just fantastic.
Please do. The retweets look good.
Yeah, retweets look great, don't they? Mm-hmm. So anyways, this is Chuck and...